1 Samuel chapter 17, and I am so thankful this morning for Brother Danny inviting us to come and preach at this meeting this year, and we've enjoyed being with you in years past and so look forward to this time together. And I do pray and ask God to guide me. I want to be a help to you. I want to be a blessing. I don't come just to fill up some time or just to do a service. But I come praying, God, please help me to be a blessing. Please say to me and speak to me and pour into me what those dear people there need. Because people everywhere I go, I find they fight battles. I know people today that are fighting battles with cancer. I know people that are fighting battles with heart disease and lung and kidney disease, liver diseases. Some of them are on the brink of death. And I also know that there's families that are battling with drug addiction, with alcoholism, and families that are battling divorce. And there's a multiplicity of things that people face every day in their lives and struggles that they're going through. And sometimes people wonder, where's my help going to come from? Where's there going to be some help or some relief from the battles and from the struggles that I'm faced with? And friend, I come by this morning to share a message with you that I believe God's laid on my heart for this particular moment of time. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, find, if you will, verse 47, and stand in reverence to God's word. As I read this verse, this one verse, I want to preach to you on a phrase that is listed in this verse this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands. I'm going to speak to you today on that thought, the battle is the Lord's. Let us pray. Father, we praise You this morning for this opportunity to be in this service and to be with this dear church family. And to be with people we love and friends that we love, and You've blessed us to know them over the years. Our heart is made to rejoice when we see four generations of Brother Mike's family now that are following the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank You for all of the families and individuals that make up the fellowship of Mission Free Will Baptist Church. I know, dear God, today that the good grace of God has been present and has done a special work here. I thank You for Pastor Danny, and I pray that You'll bless him and encourage him and give him strength every day of his life. And continue, Lord, to just pour Your grace and spirit out upon this church. Thank You for their help in Africa. Thank You for the Bibles that we've been able to buy and distribute, and for the water wells. Thank You for the pastors that are so appreciative, God, of a Bible education, so they can tell others the story of Jesus. Father, we just praise You for the souls that we've seen saved this year, and even for the souls that have been saved in this church, we rejoice. Now, God, we pray this morning that You'll open the heart of the people and help them to listen carefully to the message on the battle is the Lord's. And there's some things that they can claim, God, when they go into battle and confrontation that will help them to overcome the enemy. When the service is over today, if there's someone present that doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, speak to them and save them this day. Somebody's watching by way of computer somewhere in the world. They've never known Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It may be a Muslim that's watching. It could be someone else from a different religion. But whoever they are today, may they understand that they need a personal experience with the Almighty God, our Lord Jesus. Save them today, we pray. Thank You, Father, for all that You've blessed us with and are doing in our life. Forgive us where we fail You. Help us preach now, and we'll give You the praise and glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. And all of God's children said,
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. There are several examples in the Scriptures of the proof of the statement that the battle is the Lord's. And today, there are three in particular that I want to speak to you about that are unique. And they are battles that our Lord has fought with three things. Listen carefully. The first one is a battle with a sword. The second one was a battle with a sling. And the third was a battle with a song. And while you and I don't use swords nor slings, we do have songs. But there is a sword that God wants you to learn about today that is effective when it comes to fighting battles. Paul reminds you and I that the weapons of our warfare that we've entered into spiritually, they're not carnal. That means they're not of our own fleshly strength nor of our own might. But our battle is to be fought by the Lord Himself, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. In the book of Zechariah, the scripture says that God told Zechariah that he was going to build the house of the Lord, and there were enemies that was trying to prohibit that and coming against that work until it seemed like that it would never be accomplished. And then God showed Zerubbabel, the one that was doing the work, that you've laid the foundation of this house, but you're going to finish the work of this house. Because it'll not be done, saith the Lord, by might, nor will it be done by power. But God said it's going to be by my Spirit that I'm going to give you that's going to help you to overcome the enemy. Can I tell you today that when you're facing battles and you're going through trials and you're in heartaches today, you have a helper, and that helper is the Holy Spirit of God. And so today I want you to think about the fact that when God has a man go into battle, He always chooses a man or a soldier that will lead the charge in that battle. And the first battle that I want to talk to you about today is the battle of the sword. Now the word sword is a five-lettered word, S-W-O-R-D. And if you was to take each letter of the word sword and give it a title, here's what the sword stands for. It is a sure word of Redeemer delivers. A sure word from our Redeemer is what delivers us today. And can I tell you that the sword of the Lord is the word of God that God has given to you and I today. One of the weapons the Bible says that comes for you and I to fight with is the Spirit of the Lord and the sword of the Lord, which is the word of God. And that's why we take on the armor of God, which Paul writes about. And he says that we're protected with a breastplate of righteousness. We have a helmet of salvation that God puts on our head to protect our mind, and the shield is to protect our heart. And then he said we have a shield of faith that we quench the fiery darts of the wicked that comes against us. And then we have the sword of the Spirit of the Lord, and the Redeemer is Jesus Christ. And a sure word of the Redeemer today is what gives deliverance to you and I. And the soldier that God had chosen that I want to talk to you about in the battle of the sword is a man by the name of Gideon. And Gideon was an Abiezrite. He was born into a family that was the smallest family in all the children of Israel, and he was one of the youngest men in his own household. Israel had been disobedient unto God, and their disobedience had led them into captivity under the hand of the Midianites. And the Midianites was a picture of an enemy that just continued to grow stronger and stronger over the children of Israel until they made their lives a sure misery. In other words, the children of Israel, because of their disobedience and their sins, was under a curse because they was not keeping the commandments of the Lord. In fact, the writer of old in 1 Samuel chapter 12 says that God's hand will be against all of them who does not obey the Lord. That's why it's important for you and I to learn what thus saith God's word, and that we must learn how to become obedient so that we don't have a curse over our lives, and so no enemy that can overcome us or overpower us. And these Midianites caused the children of Israel to be greatly impoverished. I believe this with all my heart today. There's nobody that enjoys troubles, and there's nobody that wants to have a heartache or a sorrow that comes into their lives. And none of us are exempt from these kinds of things and these kinds of battles. And when they come, we sure need God to help us. Because how many of you will agree this morning that when we have troubles and when we have struggles and trials, they become an oppression upon our life, and they rob us of our joy, and they rob us of our victory, and they rob us of all of our happiness. And here Gideon was. He was a young man, and he was living in an impoverished state of life. And he was out threshing wheat, and in those days the Midianites, when they found a farmer that was threshing wheat, they would literally come in by the hundreds, and they would rob his fields and take away all of his crops, and left the children of Israel in such a state that they were perpetually weeping in the presence of God because they didn't know how they was ever going to overcome this enemy. And so some of them made them some hiding places in the caves and in the dens of the earth, and they'd thresh their wheat and they'd take it and they'd hide it just to try to provide for their family. family so the enemy would not destroy. How many of you know today the Bible says that Satan is like a roaring lion and he's walking about seeking whom he may devour? The devil comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And one of the things he wants to do is steal your happiness. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your testimony and your witness. And he wants to make your life unhappy and he wants to make it miserable. He doesn't like it that you've got saved and give your life to Jesus, and he wants to try to discourage you and give you so much trouble and so much oppression that you'll just decide to throw up your hands and say, well, I've tried to be a Christian, but I couldn't make it. And the devil gets you to go back into the world and try to begin to destroy your life. But let me tell you this morning, friend, just stand still and wait upon the Lord. For they who wait upon God, the Bible says, renew their strength. They'll mount with wings like an eagle. You'll run and not grow weary, neither will you faint, because I assure you, if you'll stand still and wait on God, he will come to your aid. Now here Gideon is out in the field threshing wheat, and an angel of the Lord comes and sets down under an oak tree nearby where Gideon's going to have to pass as he's thrashing the wheat. And in a little while, Gideon comes around by there, and he doesn't even see the angel of the Lord until he speaks to him. And the Bible says the angel of the Lord said, "Hail, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon stopped and looked at him, wondering, "Who is this that's calling me a mighty man of valor?" And he looked and he saw the angel of the Lord. And he said, "The Lord is with thee, and if you'll rise up, God will use you to deliver Israel from the hand of the Midianites." Now, if you read the Judges chapter 6 very carefully, here's what you'll see. A real Gideon who is disheartened and discouraged and disgruntled and just a little bit tiffed at God, because he's heard all the stories about how God has done great things for Israel in the past. And here's a man calling him a mighty man of valor. And here's a man telling him that as one man he can deliver Israel by himself. And he said, "The Lord is with thee." And Gideon says to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then how come do we have all of this trouble?" Sometimes that's what the devil tries to make you think. If I'm having sorrows, if I'm having troubles, if I'm having struggles, I'm having trials, what has God done to me? Why has he forsaken me? But you hear me today, God has not forsaken you, and he never will forsake you, because the Bible says that the Lord has given you this promise that he'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Just because you don't always feel like shouting don't mean God's departed from you. And just because you're not always smiling does not mean the Lord is not there. I can assure you this morning that God's right where he's always been, and he's not moved. Sometimes it's you and I that's moved, and that's why we don't feel the presence of the Lord. And so this angel said to Gideon, when he said, "Why do we have all this trouble?" And he saw the fervor in Gideon when he said these things. And he said, "If you just go in that fervor," he said, "you'd whip the Midianites like one man." And Gideon then began to get a little concerned. And he said, "Now wait a minute. If you're really an angel of God, just wait right here until I get back." How many of you know that sometimes you and I have experiences in the Lord that we're not really sure if it is the Lord? And so we want God to give us some kind of a sign and some kind of a confirmation. And the Lord says, "Bring it on. I'll show you, and I'll prove to you that I'm with you." And Gideon went back to his house and prepared an offering to bring to God. And when he got back, the angel was waiting. And there was a rock there that he hadn't noticed before. And the Lord told him, said, lay your offering there upon that rock. And it was some meat from the kid goat. And he laid some cakes up there, some unleavened cakes. And the angel told him to pour the broth all over the top of it. And then the angel, the Lord, took his staff and he touched that rock with his staff, and the Bible says there came fire up out of the rock, and when the fire came up, it consumed the sacrifice. And everyone in Israel knew that any time that you laid an offering on an altar and God's consumed it by fire, that God was pleased with them and God accepted their offering and God was with them. But what Gideon didn't realize, that that was a pre-incarnate picture of Jesus Christ that he was talking with, because when he touched that rock and the fire came up out of the rock, the angel of the Lord went up in the fire and disappeared from his presence. You see, the Bible says our God is a consuming fire, and Jesus said, "I and my Father are one," and we're the same today as we was yesterday and will be forever. And so the fire out of the rock was a witness to Gideon that he had seen the Lord, and the Lord had given him a word that the battle was not his, but it would be the Lord's battle, and he would fight the battle. And so Gideon begins to seek God, and begins to want to know if God's really going to give him the victory. And here's what the Lord did. He told him to blow a trumpet. trumpet, and 32,000 men gathered unto him. And when those 32,000 came, God said, the people's too many. Just tell everybody who's afraid and doesn't want to fight the battle to go home. And 22,000 Free Will Baptists left and went home. They're scared to death. But that still left him 10,000. And he had too many still. God said, that's too many. And Gideon's thinking, my Lord, has God looked down there in the valley and saw them Midianites? They're like grasshoppers. 10,000. And God said, Gideon, bring them down to the river and I'll prove them there. And when they got down there, he said, every man that takes water up in his hand and drinks it like a dog lapping with his tongue, he said, set them by themselves. And everybody else who drinks otherwise upon their knees, set them by themselves. And only 300 men reached down and got water and lapped it like a dog. You know what the difference is in these men that did that, the 300, is they could pull the water up in their hand and get a drink, and they could keep watching. God says, watch and be diligent and be careful, because the enemy could be lurking in the bushes. I'm saved and have been for a number of years, and I've lived long enough now that I'm wise to the devil and his tricks and his cunning devices. I don't turn my back on him, and I don't get down like the others did on my knees and get down there and drink like this. You can't see the enemy when your face is right down there in the water. And that's why there was only 300 set apart. And God said, Gideon, tell everybody else to go home. I'm going to use those 300 men to win the battle. How many of you be just like Gideon, think, dear God, all those Midianites that lay like grasshoppers, and you're going to win a battle with 300 men. Well, I want you to know, little as much if the hand of God is in it. Do you believe it, church? Little as much if the hand of God is in it. And you might say today, who am I? I'm a nobody. Nobody knows me. Nobody understands me. And can I tell you, God does not choose the great things. God does not choose the mighty things. God does not choose the noble things. But God chooses the weak things and the base things and the things which doesn't even seem right or natural. And through that, God can use that person and do great exploits so that no flesh glories in God's presence. Gideon would know that it was not his strength that won the battle, but it would be the strength of God himself. So Gideon needed some answers from God. And he lays a fleece out and he said, God, now here, I'm going to ask you two things. Number one, let there be dew upon the fleece, but let the ground be dry. If God is really with Gideon and does that, that's a sure answer, isn't it? Because he's in control of the silent waters of dew. And that night, morning, when he got up, the ground was dry everywhere, but the fleece was full of dew water, and he wrung a bowl full of water out. And that should have been enough. He's already got enough sign, but Gideon's a Free Will Baptist. Just keep that in mind. He's got to have more sign from heaven that he needs some help. And so he lays the fleece back out, and he said, now, God, let there be dew on all the ground, but let the fleece be dry. And sure enough, God answered Gideon's prayer, and the next morning the ground was wet with dew, but the fleece was dry. And then the Lord said, and if that's not enough, he said, take Pura with you and go down to one of the tents just outside the camp of these Midianites and listen to what they're saying. And Gideon went down there and he listened. The man said, I had a dream last night. And he said, I seen a big barley cake come rolling off the hill, and it rolled right into the midst of this camp, and that barley cake destroyed everything that was in this camp. And another soldier sitting in there and said, well, my goodness, that's none other than Gideon. Isn't it amazing how God can work? Here Gideon is standing right outside hearing them tell this dream, and God is telling him, I'm going to give you the victory and I'm going to give you the battle. And so he had a sure word of the Redeemer, and that sure word of the Redeemer is guaranteeing that there will be deliverance. And so God gave him a trumpet, he gave him a pitcher, and he gave them a light. And he said, 100 of you get on that side, and 100 of you get on that side, and 100 get on this side. Every people in the land of the Middle East knew that when trumpets blasted in the middle of the night or in the daytime, that it was a call and a cry for war, because the enemy was coming into the camp. But if you're up on top of a mountain blowing trumpets down into the valley, 300 trumpets blowing would sound like 3 million trumpets with all the reverberating echoes that would be going into the valley. And when those Midianites heard those trumpets sound, and they thought it was a call to battle, and they rose up and they looked, there those lamps were, those fiery lamps inside of those glass pitchers, and it looked like millions of soldiers getting ready to descend upon them. And they clanged their pitchers together until they break, and it echoed with a reverberating sound in the valley, and it sounded like thousands upon thousands of chariot wheels that was coming into the valley. And the Bible said that Gideon and his men men did not do anything, but they just blowed the trumpet, they break the pitchers, and then they shouted, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." How many of you know today that what God did was a miracle that day? The Bible said that He caused every man in the valley to take his sword, and they set ambushments against one another, and they killed each other by the thousands that day, and Gideon pursued after them and destroyed them. This was God's battle, and God fought it, not with a sword in Gideon's hand, but He took the sword in the enemy's hand, and He let the enemy kill himself. I rejoice today that I'm serving God, who is going to defeat my enemy, and He will use His own power to do so, and He'll do it with the Spirit. And God wanted me to just pass by and tell you today that you have a sword. It's called the Word of God. And claim the promises of God. In Him are all the yeas and the amens. Whatever God has said unto you, you claim it. And how many of you know today God will give you the victory?
Amen.
Amen. So God's battle was fought with a sword. But then the text that I read is the story of David, who had come down to see his brothers. And they had joined Saul, who was in war with Philistines. And the Philistines had a champion by the name of Goliath. Goliath was over 9 feet tall. Goliath carried a spear that weighed over 90 pounds by itself. He wore a coat of mail, and he had brass greaves upon his shins and upon his back. And there didn't look to be any place in that man's body where that you could penetrate him with a sword or with a spear. And Goliath challenged Israel, and he came up and he defied the armies of Israel and said, "Send me out a man that'll fight with me. If your man can kill me, then we'll be your servants. But if I kill your man, then you'll be our servants." And all of Israel was fearful of him. And when his thunderous voice would echo across the valley, those children of Israel would melt away because of the fear that's in their heart. Can I tell you, sometimes when a battle comes in your life, a battle of cancer or a battle of heart disease or a battle of a son or a daughter that seems like they're about to destroy their life, if you're not awfully careful, the devil will create so much fear in your heart that by fear you'll forget what God has promised you. The battle's not yours, the battle's mine, saith the Lord. Don't ever forget today that God hasn't stopped loving them, no matter how deep in sin they are, no matter how unclean and unrighteous they're living. God has never stopped loving them. He cares about them, and don't you stop caring about them, and don't you stop loving them. You keep praying, because I promise you that your prayers is going to make the difference in their lives. And so the Bible says that Jesse said to David, "Go down and take your brother's pledge and take him these goods that he packed for him." And when David come down to the battle and he run into the midst of the army there that day, he met his brothers. And while he was there talking, this Philistine came up and came up with a roaring, thunderous voice saying, "I defy the armies of Israel and I defy the God of Israel." And brother, I'll tell you, that caught David's ear. Because David was the sweet psalmist of the Lord, a man after the heart of God, and he loved God with all of his heart. And when David listened, and then he started watching, he noticed Israel was falling away. And David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he thinks that he can defy the armies of the living God?" And some of the people said, "The king has said whoever wins the battle over him, he'll make him a wealthy man and set his house free." David wasn't interested in those things. David was interested in the fact that this enemy was causing fear unnecessarily, because God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. He has given us the spirit of power and of a sound mind. And Christian, today, if you're saved, God wants you to determinately make up your mind that God's word is your sword, and it's a sure word. He's your redeemer, and every word of Him is yes and amen, and He will deliver you.
Amen.
Listen to me. The word sling also has 5 letters, S-L-I-N-G. You might ask today, well, what would I put with that? And what would that mean? Security learned in naming God. Not only do we have a sure word from a Redeemer that delivers, but there's security in learning the name of God. Listen to me. When David watched that giant that day, he said, "Who's going to go fight?" And nobody would go fight. And Eliab, his brother, said, "I know the naughtiness of your heart. I know why you're here." And David looked at him and said, "What have I done? Is there not now a cause?" Listen, I believe the reason God told Jesse to send David down there is because God knew there wasn't a man out there in the field that was willing to fight the battle. But God knew what David was. He knew he was a courageous young boy. He probably wasn't but about 15 or 16 years old. But God had helped him to deliver him from a lion and from the paw of a bear, which he smote and killed with his own bare hands. And I want to tell you something. I'm not fighting no lion and I'm not fighting no bear. When I was in Africa, I was in the safari and we were driving down a road. And all of a sudden we heard this sound. And I said, what is that? And this lion came out on us. And he was right there beside the car. If I'd have reached out, I'd have touched his back. But I wasn't about to touch his back because I figured he'd have an arm for dinner that day. But I want to tell you what I noticed. When that lion roared, that entire jungle got still and quiet. They're not called the king of the beasts for no reason. All the animals out there fear them and they know they're powerful. And I'm going to tell you something else I saw this year. We was at another place and we saw a mother bear with her cubs. And some Oriental people went running down toward them, and it's their good fortune. The man was with me that had been a bear hunter. And he hollered at me. He said, where are you going? They said, we're going to go down there and pet them cubs. And that mother bear had already turned, and the hair on her back was standing up. And they were about the distance of this church from her. And I want to tell you, if they'd have come any closer, that mother bear would have done some damage. You don't run up on a bear like that. So how many of you today would fight a lion or fight a bear? David was keeping his father's sheep when they come into the midst of the sheep and took a lamb. And David went out and delivered the lamb from the mouth of the lion. And the Bible says when the lion raised up against David, he caught him by the beard and smote him with his own hands. And when the bear that he delivered another lamb from rose up on him, he killed it. David didn't do that in his own power and his own strength. David did that by the power and the strength of God.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, God knew he had a soldier there. And he sent David down there that day because there was a call. Somebody needed to go fight that big brute out there in the valley. And when David said, I'll go fight him, and they told Saul and they brought David in, they tried to put his armor on him, and he couldn't wear it. He assayed to go, the Bible said. That word means he struggled trying to walk with all that equipment that he hadn't gotten grown up enough to wear. And he said he put those things off because he said, I've not proved these things. But he said, I'll go in the name of the Lord with things that I have proved. And David went down to the brook and picked him up 5 smooth stones because he knew that Goliath had 4 other relatives besides himself, that if he kills Goliath, he may have to kill them. How many of you understand today that if you kill one enemy, you better be ready to kill another one? Amen, because the devil's going to bring all he can at you when he comes. And David went across the valley and he started up into the place where the giant was, and the giant came with him with a sword and a spear, and he had a shield bearer. And the giant looked at him and he said, boy, come to me and I'll feed your flesh to the fowls of the air, mocking at him. You know, listen to me, there's a lot of people mocking at the church. Amen. And there's a lot of people saying a lot of ridiculous things about the kingdom of God and about the spiritual things. But I want to tell you something, beloved, there's an hour coming when they'll regret that. Because he's still God and he's still on the throne. And he will still bring judgment to this world. David said to him, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield bearer. But I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord whom you defied. You see, what David had security in was he had learned that in the name of the Lord there's power. Amen. When you have battles today, you have a sure word from God. Get in the book and learn it. Claim a promise of God and hold on to that promise. I can tell you that I've told people over the years the promise of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Jesus Christ that strengthens me. When you're in one of your weakest moments and most uncertain moments, that's a good verse to cling to and hold on to. Say it with me. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheth me. Say it again. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheth me. And let me give you another verse of Scripture that's been my life verse, and I've seen God answer me again and again and again. Mark 11:24. Here's what it says. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and ye shall have them. Listen to that. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and ye shall have them. I don't go to God and ask for foolish things. I don't go to God and ask Him for money. I don't go to God and ask Him for fancy things. I don't go to God and ask Him for things that is unnecessary to ask. But I'm going to tell you this, I do go to God and pray for people that are lost. And I go to God and I pray for people that are bound by drug addictions and alcohol addictions and all kinds of bondages that they're in. And I pray to God about a number of things. I've even prayed to God that there's places that I've passed through cities. And I've said, when I went through, God, I'm going to receive that you're going to bring me back here and let me preach the gospel in this city. And just a few days ago, I prayed that prayer passing through a city. And about a week after that, the telephone rang, and a preacher on the other end asked if this was Mike Hutzel, and I said, it is. And he said, I'd like to book a date with you to come back to our area and preach a revival. And as soon as he said it, the Lord reminded me I'd passed through there. I'd seen this church. I didn't think about that church. I just said, bring me back to this city. And God let me go back to the church, or I'm going back to the church that I seen. How many of you know God hears your prayers and He'll answer them? Mark 11, 24 says, what things? Say this after me. What things? Soever you desire when you pray, believe, you receive them, and ye shall have them. That's God's promise.
Amen.
And you see, David had learned that he was secure in the name of God. And David learned that he had a sure word from the Lord, who's the Redeemer, that will truly deliver. And that day, David took and reached into the bag, and he said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. And he put a stone in the sling. And the one area that was not protected on Goliath was his forehead. And God sees where he knows to plant it. And David had practiced so much out there, just target practicing while watching the sheep, when he wound that arm up and started running, he didn't shy away from the giant. He ran at him. Don't you back up from your enemy. The Bible says, give no place to the devil. You run at him and tell him, I'm not afraid of you, Satan. Greater is Jesus Christ that lives in me than you that lives in this world.
Right.
You challenge. Let me tell you something about the devil. He's a coward.
Amen.
He's a liar, and he's a murderer, but he'll flee you when you stand in the name of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And David turned the stone loose. And I just happen to believe that when it left his sling, God directed it. And it hit the giant right smack in the forehead. And it had so much velocity that it sunk into his head and knocked him cold as a stone. He landed on his face. There was no sword in David's hand. How many of you know the Bible says that he that lives by the sword shall die by the sword? David went and took Goliath's sword out of his sheath and cut his head off. And here he is, a 15 or 16-year-old boy, and he picks the head of that giant up, puts it up under his arms, and goes walking back across the valley. That's my kind of man.
Amen.
Amen. I like a man that is, I don't care if you say he ain't a man, he's a boy. Hey, you kill a big old giant like that, you're a man. Amen. And he come walking, and Saul looked out there, and he said, who is that stripling? That's how we know he's young, because Jews called striplings between the age of 13 and 18. So he was somewhere in that area. Most scholars believe he was around 15 or 16 years old. And Abner said, I can't tell. Why didn't Abner know? Because Abner was the captain of the host. He should have been the one fighting the battle. But listen, I want to tell you, he didn't want to know who this guy is, because this guy represents something Abner wasn't. Let me tell you, David never took no advantage of that. He loved Abner with all of his heart. You remember when Abner died, how David wept? And he said, there is a good man died in Israel this day. David didn't get exalted with the fact that God gave him the battle. And listen, if you're what you ought to be, no matter how God gives you victories, you don't get exalted with yourself. You just praise the Lord for what He's doing in your life. Well, here's the last one, the song. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. And he and his children are in a valley in the land of Israel. And they tell him that there is Philistines coming from everywhere. And they're right neighboring to you, they said, Jehoshaphat, in the land of Engedi. And some of his soldiers went out and saw them. They were multitudes of them. And Jehoshaphat, well, if you study his life, you'll find that there's two things in his life that was important. Number one, he prayed. Number two, he liked to sing. How many of you like to sing? Let me see your hands. I know you do, because I enjoyed your singing this morning. And I want to tell you something. Singing is something that will never end when we get to heaven. Did you know that? You guys that are singers, you got to keep singing when you get there. When I'm preaching, I get to sit down and rest. I don't have to preach no more. I get to sit and listen to all the good singing. But the soldier that God chose is a man named Jehoshaphat. And the Ammonites and the Moabites and the Syriites are coming to him in battle. But in 2 Chronicles 20, after Jehoshaphat has prayed, God said to him, the battle's not yours, but it's mine, saith the Lord. Just stand still and see the salvation of God. Can I tell you what happens to a lot of people? When they get in a battle and they get under the conflict, they get anxious and they make decisions and they change positions. And God wants you to stand still and wait until God answers the call that you've been given. And so this is what was told unto Jehoshaphat. Jehaziel, the Spirit of the Lord, came upon him and told him after he had prayed, Jehoshaphat had prayed, we have no might against this great company, neither know we what to do, Lord, but our eyes are upon you. And Jehaziel said, believe the Lord God and you'll be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. And then here's what he did. He appointed singers. And he said to those singers, here's what I want you to do. When you go across the valley and you go into the valley, into the battle, you don't need to do anything but just sing the chorus, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Say that with me. Praise ye the Lord. And you might think, well, how in the world could you win a battle over that? Well, let me tell you something, friend. When you're at the lowest ebb of your life and you're in one of the biggest battles you've ever been in and one of the hardest struggles you've ever gone through, you ought to start saying, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And let all the earth say, praise ye the Lord, for he is worthy of our praises. Amen.
Amen.
Do you remember when the children of Israel was coming out of Egypt and God opened the Red Sea and they went across on dry ground? You remember the enemy pursued them out there in the sea, and in the middle of the night, God come down through the cloud and the fire, and he looked, and he caused their chariot wheels to start falling off and made it hard for them to drive their chariots. And they realized then that they'd gone far enough that they couldn't get back to land, and that God was now going to help them. And God did that so that when the Israelites got on the other side, God could tell Moses, take your rod and hold it over the sea, and I'll close the doors of the sea. And that day, God closed the sea upon the enemy, and they were dead men floating everywhere. God destroyed the enemy. And if you'll read Exodus chapter 15, you'll read where Moses wrote a song, and the children of Israel began to praise the Lord through that song. I'm here to tell you today, battles are going to come, and you're not going to avoid them. And the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. And when you realize that, and you begin to leave those things that you're faced with and those struggles that you're going through in the hands of God, and instead of just trying to figure it out yourself, and instead of trying to decide, I'm going to work this out, I'm going to get this thing figured out, find you a sure word from the Redeemer. Get you a word from the Word of God and claim that, and God will deliver you. And then, my friends, not only that, but just keep naming the name of the Lord. Just as David said, you come to me with a sword and a spear, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Many's the time I've told the devil, you've battled me and you fought me, but I come to you in the name of one that you don't have any authority over, no power over, and I'm going to get the victory this day. And then there's times that I've just sang the songs of the church. Oh, how I love Jesus. Isn't he wonderful? Praise ye the Lord. And various songs of the faith that I've sung. And in doing that, beloved, I've seen God bring the victory. Listen to me as I close the message. In the book of Revelation, chapter 15 and 3, when this battle's over, and all of life is finished, there's a day coming when all of us are going to stand at the throne of God, and we're going to sing in His company and in His presence, His praises, because we will have overcome the battle of this earth, and we'll be at home with Jesus.
Amen.
I want you to close your Bibles, and I want you to stand to your feet. And I want to ask you this morning,